Hallelujah. We continue what we started yesterday. Who are you? Amen. Who are you? I was in much of human challenges stems from an identity crisis. When you don't know who you are, just like when you don't know where you are going, you hop on any bus and you go in that direction. So I want to expand our narrative a bit more this evening. And back to James 1. James 1, 23. In a meeting of the nature, like a meeting of this kind of nature, you see the meetings, the group sessions, the teaching sessions are more of instructions. Okay, it's more of an instructional session or instructive session. Unlike, you know, a typical meeting where we go into a systematic theology of issues, this is different. This is instructional. That is, we're going to combine many things together in personal course instruction. Like I said, growth comes from instructions. What did I say? I don't think I heard you. Growth comes from instructions. It doesn't just come from information. And by the time you start to follow instructions, then you become wise. The writer of Proverbs says that wisdom, he says, is the principal thing. Sometimes the difference between believers is not just information or a peculiar insight one has, which is part of it. But Paul would pray and he will say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? He said that he will give to you wisdom of the Spirit. King James says spirit of wisdom and revelation, but it's wisdom and revelation by the Spirit. You notice that in Colossians 2, he prays that they'll be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom. In Acts 6, when they said it's not reason, but still that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, look amongst yourselves. And let's find whether we can have 7 men, say, full of the Holy Ghost, who have good report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, full of wisdom, which is practical knowledge. Wisdom, from the word Sophia and Sophizo. When Paul also spoke to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child, you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise. So there is wise. Wisdom is when you properly apply what you are hearing. Now, so wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is the application of what you know. And the Greek calls it insight. So there's an insight that is different from just information, where you see it's practical. Okay? Not practical in the sense of secular or natural, but you see that, you know, it reflects in your thinking and your behavior. And it's a function, like the Proverbs says, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the principal thing. It's an important thing. That is, not just to have knowledge, but working knowledge. Say, I'm becoming wiser. Say, I'm becoming wiser. Say, I'm becoming wiser in the things of God. I'm becoming wiser. All right, good. So, in a meeting like this, you receive wisdom. Wisdom. Hallelujah. Wisdom. You know, the writer of Proverbs says that if you correct a fool, you become more foolish. If you correct a wise man, he adjusts, he becomes wiser. He becomes just foolish. Watch that. James 1 and 23. We're going to have quite some things we got this evening, and I trust you catch up with me. Ready? All right. Now you go. I'm reading 23. If any be, I'll start from 22 actually, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, verse 23, and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. And we said that word Genesis there, which you're going to also find in Matthew's Gospel 1:1. Genealogy, generations. And you go to the Old Testament, you find it in Genesis 5:1, the book of the generations of Adam, and the day God created man likes an image of he created them. And we said that a man comes to realization of why he's on earth by knowing the new birth. And we said that there's a reason why a man is born. And we saw the word born again. Was that clear to you? Come on, talk to me, say scripture. Was that clear to you? Why you are born. We know why the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, will bruise the head of the serpent. And we saw Cain and Abel. Why Noah was born. Comfort. Rest place. We saw why Isaac was born. Why Jacob was born. Okay? Joseph. And we said, sometimes at the birth, you will know. Sometimes as they keep growing, then they'll come to that realization. We said, you know, the parents might not know. Their instance, the parents might not know. They might be born in different circumstances. But then we say, what happens is this. They now receive the grace of God. Like Paul said, Galatians 1:15. He called him by grace. You see, different individuals like David. Some who had lived their lives one way or the other. And they are now born of the Spirit. Which means that their life takes a different turn. Okay? And it takes a different turn. And then from that point, they come to the realization of why they were born at all. Now, let's figure out a few things. So, Genesis, which is the book of Genesis and the theology in there, leads us to know why people are born. It's the book of generations, the book of genealogy. So, which means that whatever reason or wherever nation I'm born, Genesis 3:15 defines me. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. So whenever time in history I'm born, that comes in as my genealogy. Okay? So I'm born for a reason. Hallelujah. So I am a product of prophecy. See, I'm a product of prophecy. I don't think I heard you. Say it again. A prophecy. So there's a plan. The plan to undo the works of darkness in the earth. For this cause was I born. I see that. I'm a product of prophecy. So, now that you are born again, you can no longer hold your earthly parents responsible for how your life is turning out. No, you can't. And I tell your pastors this oftentimes, that, you know, if this brother or sister is a part of our church, we have to take full responsibility. We have to. So that's why there's home training, right? Which is the one you get from home. And there's church training. So church training is also home training. That's why you can't behave anyhow. Because you belong to a local church, a local assembly, where we have assumed the responsibility of showing you why you are on earth. Are you following what I'm saying this evening? You know, when we're younger, you must have heard what they call, I don't know whether I've heard omota. Have you heard it before? Omota, that is a child of outside. That's very literal, right? A child of outside. Now, let me tell you the genesis of that word so you get it. Now, it's believed that a home is where you learn values, where you learn principles, where you know what to do and what not to do, those kind of things you learn from home. And your mom, without taking you through classes, already has taught you eye contact. No classes. No prelim. She just looks at you. Remember one time like that? Went to the house of one of my father's, it was elderly, but it was my father's friend. So then they served us one nice meal. And I just decided to go back there on my own. I don't know what came over me that day. I went there and I ate. I don't think they gave us the same meal, I'm not sure. So I went to sleep thinking that I'll just from there go to school. Because it was in University of Lagos compound, so my school was a staff school. And I just saw them wake me up, my father was outside. And my mother came too. Now when those two come together, you know, heaven and earth is about to pronounce problems on you. And, you know, my dad kept quiet in the car. You know, he could keep quiet. My mom, nope. She turned to the back. It was a Beetle Volkswagen. She turned to the back and took my ear from the people's gates. No, there was no gate. The staff called us. He said, I will take your life. Something like that. You know? And from that point, I was so young, I think it was probably 2 or 3 or something. From that point, I couldn't take food from anybody. Even those who brought it freely, I'll just be waiting. Then she'll look at me. And I remember what she did on that great day. You know, how you'd bring a pen home, a pencil, and they'll check your bag. Ha! Who owns this pencil? You say, ah! Ah! My mom will first minister to you. Pop, tell me! So the one I bought for you is not enough. I said, ah! We just exchanged it. You exchanged it. You are going to exchange your parents tonight. And you, you know, and it looked tough, but that's home training. Now there are guys that they now behave outside. When they behave outside, you know, when we are outside, you remember where you are coming from. Do you get it? So have you seen the kind, you see your mom's friend, maybe you are coming from school, they start to talk your shit. He said, how are you? Fine, man. No, it is this. I fell down. She said, no, how are you? Because you are sure she's going to tell your mother. You know, but there are guys who don't behave like that. You call them omoita. That is, there is no home training. They train them on the streets. Now, the truth is, we don't even go out like that again. Because, you know, back then, people would go out and go and play football on the street. There's no street. They built houses everywhere. On canal. People built houses everywhere. So, we now have almost social media. And I'm not joking. That the media is now parenting people. Like, we say, omoita, the guy that he's being raised from outside. You fly your shirt. You know, you don't learn how to fly your shirt in the house. You fly your shirt. And then you know, have you done this one that you put your biro on your ear? You didn't learn that one from home, right? So imagine you go home, you don't say, eh! The first thing she'll say is, Ofe your mother. You want to become a child trained from outside the house. Because she knows you didn't get it from the house. Or home. Now, we have the same thing. Now, you don't have to go outside. Just your phones. And then, they are reprogramming you on your values. your values. One day, we were coming from a program, 2015. Myself, a pastor, another fellow. I think Bimbo was in the car that day. We were coming and we were, and someone found money at the airport. You were in the car. So she knows what I'm saying. And the fellow found thousands of dollars and returned the money. Okay? And so they now gave her some money at the airport. You know that story. I'm sure you do. And then her boy in the car was saying, ah, imagine you found $10,000. They now just gave you 50K, 100K. Ah! So I say, if it's me, I'll use it to do business first. A preacher in the car. Then I'll return it. So they were arguing on what should they give. I now kept quiet. I said, the whole concept is even wrong. Why should they give you money for returning money that is not your own? And they all kept quiet in the car. I said, no. By giving them money, you have monetized values. I said, what they ought to have done is to put her name in the social studies book and give her a name that is more than silver and gold. So that when we read about civics and citizen behavior, we mention her name. A so-so and so person is a person of honesty. You know, no matter who she is, she knows her name has become an example. She will caution herself whatever she does. But you see, now you have monetized values. Is there anything to say, well, does it bring food to my table? What's naira and kobo? What does it, you know, values. Taken from outside. Now you are born again. Say, I'm born again. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. You cannot take your values from the world. No, you can't. It has to come from the Word. And listen to me. The church is the pillar and ground. The local church is the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Hebrews 13:7. See, remember them that have spoken the Word of God to you, that have the rule over you. Follow their faith and the end of their conversation. So, it must dawn on you who you are. You cannot be trained. You know, there's a saying in Yoruba, and I'm sure other cultures will have it in their own way, they say. That is, a child that is not raised in the house, they train you from outside. That is, if they don't train you in the house, and they don't train him at all. I mean, someone telling me, say, ah, the way you greet elders. I said, when I became a senior, in government college, a prefect is a big boy. Even though it's just for 1 year. He's a big boy. If you are the head of school, we don't use all this yacht, head boy, head girl, senior prefect. We leave it for people like Igbobi College and King's College. So, there's this thing, and no teacher can instruct you anymore. Say, how you come? If you say, I'm a prefect. Say, okay, let's just leave you. Even though you're still going to write your work, you may pass or fail. So, you know, so I was now doing like this. So my dad came, and I don't know, the thing just entered my head. I was now getting like this. He said, what happened? You know, that's what he said. You know, if you ever met my dad could be very funny. He makes people laugh a lot. Say, what happened? I said, so what are you picking? And you know, all my juniors were there in front of Carhouse. They were looking at me. So I went and he said, ah, what are you trying to pick? Until I went flat. He said, ah, I was thinking something was wrong with you. Do you get it? Basic training. You don't have to be told. You don't have to be told. So in case you missed it, right? The church will retrain you and give you values. Is that clear? So, in knowing who you are, God has placed people, respond. responsible for it. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. They are responsible. I want us to read it together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Say with me, the world cannot train me. The media cannot train me. God's word, by God's spirit, through God's servants, train me in the will of God. Say it again, the media, the world cannot train me. God's word, by God's spirit, through his servants, the local assembly, trains me in God's will for my life. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read to you verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren. Let's take it together. Let's come on. Let's go. And we beseech you, brethren. Let's go again. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So he says, you should know them who are over you. Which means that God has set people over you to admonish you, to train you. Colossians 1:28, Paul says, Christ in you, 27, the hope of glory. We preach among the saints, the nations, the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, teach, warn in every man, 28, that we may present every man. That we may present. So God has put men over your life. In Hebrews 13, I quoted 7 earlier, 17. Obey them, he says, that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to them. He says that they do it without grief, but joyfully. Why? He said, but they watch over your souls and they must give accounts. Which means, if you are here today, how many of you have people under your care that, not just that you got them born again or you reach out to them, but your the local church, this church, your leaders have committed them to you. They could have been to church through you or got born again through you, but you have such people. Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. You have people under your care. I'm not saying you're a cell leader or you're a pastor, but you have people under your care that when we ask for Brother Shegun, they ask you, where is Brother Shegun? Who has someone like that? Let me see. Raise it. Come on. Let me see your hand. Raise it high. Now that means when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give account of your life, you're not going to give account of a club you supported or the kind of career that you got engrossed in. It is the souls. You will give account of the souls. The same way there are persons that God has placed to give account of your own life. Hallelujah. Look at the first thing Paul says. He says, know them. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That your recognition should not be corrupted. To know who is who. Pray in the Holy Ghost. To know. To recognize. Know them. Hold on 1 minute. You know, John 1 says, he came to his own. His own received him not. Verse 11. Verse 10 says, he came to the world. The world did not know him. So it's possible not to recognize what God is doing. They didn't know. Because they acted in the flesh. When you act in the flesh, Jesus says the flesh profits nothing. When you act in the flesh, you are not going to have the right sight. You are going to see things wrongly. Pray in the Holy Ghost. To recognize. Know them, Paul says. Know them. So when you are praying, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, it includes to know them that are over you in the Lord. Know them. Know them. You know them. Their job, he says, is to train you, to admonish you. Now he says in 13, esteem them very highly for the work's sake. Very highly in love, he says. And he says for the work's sake. So, you recognize, in recognizing people that the Lord has put you under and placed over you, you are recognizing who you are. You are recognizing who you are. And God hasn't put everybody over everyone. There are different people for different people. So the same way, you don't expect, for example, people to regard your father, earthly father, the way you do. That's your father. And how does that happen? I tell people, you can't have authority without responsibility. That's the difference between having a title leadership and having a proper leadership. Now, to qualify for leadership in the body of Christ, you have responsibility, gives you leadership and authority. If you are not responsible, you have no responsibility, you can't have authority. So what creates authority is responsibility. Those that the Spirit of God has made to have rule over you. Acts 20 and 28. Paul says to them, the church in Ephesus, the elders, he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. Then he says, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So I must see these persons, Acts 20, 28, has given to me by the Holy Ghost. Now, who is Paul referring to the Holy Ghost? Paul is referring to how he raised them, trained them, and then put them in position of leadership as the Holy Ghost. Feed the church of God, which he has purchased with the blood of his own. So God purchases the church with his blood, Jesus, and he hands over the church to men. Acts 20, 28. In Acts 13 and 2. You know, you had verse 1 says that there were certain prophets in Antioch and teachers in Antioch. He mentioned Barnabas, Lucius. He mentions Paul and Barnabas, pardon me. In 2, he says, and the Holy Ghost said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where to have called. As the ministers of the Lord and fasted, he said, the Holy Ghost said that. After they had prayed, watch this. He said, they now laid hands on them and sent them away. Then the next verse says, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. No, I disagree. Look, it was the men that laid hands on them. No, I disagree. No, no, the Holy Ghost didn't send them away. The men sent them away. Luke says, no, when men inspired by the Spirit do something, it becomes the work of the Spirit. That's what's going on. So when you go to church, whether it's a cell meeting or a fellowship meeting or a midweek service, you are there to receive home training, church training that represents the values you should carry because of who you are. I was talking to someone one day, just a few weeks ago, and something came up in the media and all that, and I said, dear brother, you know, we are believers. And in all of this, we have to represent believers because we know who we are. So you're right. You have to know who you are. We are believers. One time I was in Guinea-Conakry, and I was in the, I had something to do with my boss then, still my boss, because I called my boss still, and he took us, we had this different meetings with the prime minister, and the president then was a military man, so the whole thing was very grand, and I said, please, where is the church here? And he said, oh, church? Oh, yeah, because it was business trip. So I said, oh, it's in one very funny area like that. I said, doesn't matter. Can I go? And he said, no, they can't go with me. And the presidential stuff cannot go that far. I said, no problem. Just get me any car. Let me just get there. And of course, when I saw where the church was, I understood what they were saying. But it didn't matter to me. I said, I have to identify with them. And they were French speaking, just a few of them spoke English. I got to speak anyway at the service. So That's who I am. This is my family. Do we believe alike? Not necessarily. But this is my family. I have home training to know members of my family. I know who I am. Say, I know who I am. Say, I know who I am. Because sometimes you can get so lost. You can get so lost. And we can do that. You can get so lost and then you have an identity crisis. You don't even recognize who you are. You say, well, are we not all just believers? We are all children of the same Father. Because you are lost. So, you know the men that are placed over you in the Lord. Now, this is the life of order. The life of order. And as we're praying for this convention, one major thing the Spirit of God put in our hearts, He said, order. Someone say, order. And He said to me, He said, order starts from knowing who you are. That's why I started from that premise. Order. Where there's order, I know who I am. So I don't carry another person's identity. I don't carry dual identity. James says in 22, James 1:22, deceiving your own self. The word there is paralogizomai in the Greek. It means to act beside yourself, which means you will be carrying double identity. You are a believer truly because you are born of the word, James 1:18, but you are not acting it. Why? Because what you are reflecting is not the word of God. Like I said earlier, you are getting training from the world. You are getting training from elsewhere. I won't use this example again, lest the person thinks I'm really going to be talking about her. Let me pick someone else. You know, sometimes you are used to having conversations. Maybe you're a businessman, or you are a politician, or you are an IT person. So there are phrases you are used to every day. You talk about it so much. Then if you are not careful, you will start reasoning like that. I used to say this a lot, that I grew up knowing a lot of medical students, a whole lot of them, because I knew many of them. They were my friends. And I discovered something. I said, whenever we spoke about divine healing and the miraculous, there was this reservation that they usually had. Just a few of them stood out. In fact, many times you don't say things like, I'm healed. They say, I'm getting better. And it says a medical term. I'm recovering. I forgot the one that word one used to use. I'm getting better. In fact, I have a friend who has studied into a PhD, in fact, did a postdoctoral work and said, well, I don't believe. This was what she said. With a strong passion for world evangelism, a strong passion for reaching the lost, yes, she says things like, well, I believe that both the gifts of healing and the medical cure, they are both the gift of healing. And I could see why. You had buried yourself so much. So it's like reasoning like that. Yeah, see a point. So, if you're not careful, because you are into marketing, you are sitting now in your fellowship or your church, you now start to have, let's look at our marketing strategy for Ibadan. And say, what is the catchment area? And you say, what kind of strategy are we, you know, because you are so much in management meetings, strategy meetings, you know, theater, you are so much in IT meetings. So the thing has subsumed you. So you are no longer using it, which you should do, it's now using you. So your thinking has been subsumed. So when you are talking, you will be reflecting it. Why? Because there's now chaos. We're going to see that in a moment. So I said, order means things to be done the right way. Hallelujah. See, I walk in order. I walk in supernatural order. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the next verse says, the earth was without form and void. Genesis 1:2. Tohu bohu, tohu wabohu. Without form and void. Now, that is an idiom for chaos. Chaos. How many of you have seen a chaotic situation before? When you're in Lagos, that Lagos, yeah. And then the traffic light is pressing red and cars are under it. You know, the one coming from red. Hey. You know, so you see, that's chaos. As someone say, and then in Lagos, everybody is now traffic warding. Stop! You come! You the traffic warding is just looking at them. So God pass this car! Oh God pass! Then one guy just coming, yeah, no. As you're going to dodge, then there's this manual. Oh God, sorry. You know, everything is just a mess. Why? Because everyone has left their proper lane. Chaos. That's tohu bohu. The one that should be on right is on left. Or you go to your house. My aunt will say, when my aunt gets to the house, and she used to stay with us. And then maybe we had played football in the living room. And of course, then when you hear the honk of the car, if my father, you know the rapture is about to happen, so you move quickly. But in the instance of my aunt, because she had no car, she would just knock the door. She was not sure who is at the door. So you open and say, ah! And she will always tell my mom. So you know, gosh. So we now devise a trick. We now say, who is that? You now be doing like you're opening the door. He says, ah! Don't you know my voice? Oh! Then it's hard to arrange. So whenever she comes in, she'll say, ah, I remember this outfit is so constant. Ah, how is this house like the house of Mr. Foolish? She says in Yoruba. Because you look at yourself, why didn't you put this in back? You should have put the chair back. But before she got in at all, I don't think she saw what she should have seen. That's chaos. The is it throw pillow? That one is under the table. The table is in one corner. Then, you know, somebody has drank garis, put it on the floor. You know, everybody's saying, my mother could never have seen these things. You will literally make heaven. You will come back. You will literally make heaven. That's the truth. No, you will make heaven. You know, and you say, what is this nonsense? Have you gone to a kitchen before? And you say, ah. Did the government lock up this house? Everything is dirty. Down, down, down. That is tohu bohu. The earth was without form and void. Which means, the first thing God does in the Bible is restore order to chaos. Say, my life is in order. Pray in tongues. No chaos in my life. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Prayer life is struggling. You pray once in a week. Tohu bohu. Evangelism. You don't even act like a Christian anymore. You only know you are born again by inward witness. Tohu bohu. And it takes the Spirit of God to bring order into our lives. You can't do it by natural strength. Without form and void. And you know that, and I taught you this over the years, that depicts the nation of Israel. Because now they're in Egypt. In Egypt they are now worshipping idols. Some of them are worshipping idols. In Egypt they have been subsumed in the culture. A nation that God called by Abraham in Genesis 12. They now have the thinking of the Egyptians. But someone said, but how come? You know, how would you blame them for that? Now, you know, the other day, I showed you something. In the same Egypt, Moses was born. But they knew who he was. And he knew who he was. So they ensured that Miriam followed him to the house of Pharaoh. So all through that time, they gave him a different training. He knew who he was. So the chaos, even though he still had the Egyptian habits, but he knew who he was. So one day, he found two Hebrews. I mean, one Hebrew and an Egyptian. They were having a tussle. He killed the Egyptian. Why? Now, you don't do that. No, you won't do that. You're born of God's spirit. You know, you don't know. But he's trying to say, I'm not for him. I'm here. He knew that. So the next day, he saw two Hebrews. He said, oh, guys, don't fight. We're brothers. Say, ah! You know, you're about to say that when you use your cap to kill an elephant, people will hear you the first time say, hey, Baba elephant killer. By the next day, they say, be careful for that guy. Anything he holds can kill. By the next day, they say, ah, hey. And they had to run. But you know the thing? He knew who he was. So, they were now in Egypt. Tohu bohu, chaos. They dressed alike, they talked alike, they thought alike, they ate things alike. There was no difference. That is chaos. See, my life is not chaotic. I have order by the Spirit of God. I follow supernatural order by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So they knew. So you had tohu bohu. They reasoned like the world. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And in the Hebrew, it means, I am your light. Say, God is my light. In the midst of the darkness of this world, God is my light. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Say, the Lord is my light. Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:3, said, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God, should shine on their hearts. Said, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, I shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So order has come to my life. Order has come to my life. That is why I don't use the word confused anymore. I am not confused. I don't live in confusion. So no matter what is going on in the world, you know, when the COVID lockdown issues came up, and I told the pastors, I said, we know what to do. We're not confused. Yes, we've never had this experience before. But we have the word of God. We are not confused at all. How so? What do we do? You know, in fact, a pastor called me. He said, how did you know what to do? I mean, he said, many of us were taken aback. I said, I was also taken aback. But not too far back. But we have a message that will outlive any situation. So we don't allow the world to define what we are going to do. And I said, what was our message before the lockdown? We're going to stick to it. What was it? That is why it's good to be under spirit-led leadership. Never. And I'm saying this not just, of course, you trust our leadership. We are led by the Spirit of God, okay? But generally in life, don't follow people that listen to the mob. They're not reliable. Don't follow people that yield to the mob. You know, and you find some people on social media, as long when something is being said, blah, 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 they just back down because they feel, oh, I don't want people to speak to them. No, you should not be like that. Moses will speak and the whole nation of Israel will say, no, we don't. And he never yielded to it. No, he didn't. When Aaron listened to the mob, they began to tweet. They were tweeting, writing Facebook posts. So we don't, where is Moses? We can't take this. From what we know, we don't know where he is. Exodus 32 and all that. And he said, what do you want? That was what Paul saw. He said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season. 2 Timothy 4:2-3. And out of season. Said, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. That's what's going on. They could not endure. They couldn't endure. And so Aaron said, okay guys, what do you want? And you see, that's poor leadership. That's poor leadership. The church does not ask, the leaders of the church does not ask the members, what do you want? No. Not at all. What did Aaron do? Aaron listened to the mob. He listened to the congregation. I say this often to those who are in leadership. Every time I have to teach pastors and leaders in different denominations, I say, know your job description. When you are called to leadership, to assist the pastor, your focus is on the pastor, not the flock. You will only be able to oversee the flock properly to the degree that you listen to the pastor. And Aaron made that error. Aaron made that error. He said, what do you want? He said, give us the God. He said, give us a God that we will worship. And we'll say that that God took us out of Egypt. Can you imagine that? And Aaron went ahead. So yeah, bring your earrings. What was that the first thing anyway? Bring your earrings. Bring your leg chain, nose chain. Pew, 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 pew. They got calves and began to worship. And Moses was at WCC's praying. And God said, are you done with your chariot? Say, I'm not. I said, your people, they are undoing your WCC. He goes back. What? You know, immediately, many died. Aaron almost died. Because of a leader who listens to the crowd. Are you following what I'm saying? Never follow people. No, we are not like that here. Never. We're led by the Spirit of God. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. We're led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Holy Ghost. We pray. They are here. I tell him, I said, what is God telling you to do? Go and pray. Now, I think, I assume, there was a time, you know, someone told me, he said, but well, this is what people are doing in the body of Christ. I said, thank God for them. That's not what God told us to do. I mean, that's not what he told us to do. And I've told them many times. I said, look, sometimes it looks like what we're doing is, why are we so intense on this? That's what we were called to do. Others are intense on the things they are also doing. That's why you are feeling the heat. You also be intense on what you are called to do. So the heat will get stronger. You focus on what you are called to do. Moses had the whole crowd. One time they said, you know, look at Joshua and Caleb. I mean, look at that. You all went to do something, do sightseeing, and they all came back and said, we're not able to go. And Caleb said, no, stop at once, we are able to. The whole multitude, Numbers 14, 1, 2, 3, they wept all night and said, we're going to die in this wilderness. God has brought us out to die in the wilderness. You know, leaders of today who are social media, they have e-pressure. They'll have said, guys, it's not what I thought. You know, what do you think we should do? You know, just, let's have suggestions. Suggestions. I said, sir, we are going back to Egypt. He said, now? Yes, sir. Hey, what about you? I second the motion, sir. Okay, well, if that's the best thing, because we have to be sensitive to your needs. We have to, you know, leadership without empathy is sympathy or telepathy. You know, begin to create some motivational speech. You know, we have to really understand with you. Imagine if your parents asked you when you were in primary one, do you want to go to school? I said, Daddy, I know you are a loving man. Do you want to go to school? But I know you want the certificate. Huh? Your first year in university, they have said, Is there a way we can fast track this? Caleb said, no, we are able to. And all of them elders that listened to the crowd, they died with them. Hallelujah. Say, I follow the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Not to yield to the mob. Not to yield to the mob. Something is trending on social media. Something is being said in the world. The news is carrying it. You are not yielding to it. You are doing what God has led you to do before it came up. And when it goes, you'll still be led by the Spirit of God. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. If you're a pastor, pray this specially for yourself. Pray this. Never to respond to the mob by following the mob. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you see that chaos. Chaos is when you start following the world. Chaos is when your values are shaped by the world. That's chaotic. You know, at that time, you won't see the reason for prayer again. Because you see, what am I praying about? What am I even praying about? I mean, I got these things without prayer. What's this thing? Like I said earlier, you begin to see spiritual things as a burden. It's a burden. It's a burden. You are more relaxed. Someone told me this, he said, whenever I'm stressed, I'm just really stressed. Christian man. He said, I go and just take a bottle of beer. He told me. I said, B-E-A-R or B-E-E-R. He said, and the guy tries to call me my pastor. I said, he tries to. Is that right? He said, my pastor, I can't lie to you, sir. And he said, my nerve just cools. The writer of Proverbs says, wine is a mocker. Your problem has not gone. You just drank. Your problem has not gone. You get it? It hasn't gone. So he said, I just come. He heard that from the world. I just cooled my nerves. Just cooled my nerves. There was one preacher too who said this. So when I have stress like that, I'm overwhelmed. I just cigarette. Preacher. He was saying it, I was looking. At that point, you don't say the Bible says. Don't waste your time. What are you going to say? The Bible says he knows. He knows. Chaos. Prayer is not it again. One day I told the pastor, I said, we pray. He said, Pastor, this is not just about prayer. And he said it boldly, you know, I said, this one, the word has become, the headquarters of the word is in his mind. He said, it's not about prayer. It's not about prayer, sir. Some things are just, it's not about prayer. Chaos. Remember what we started with? The whole house is chaos. Prayer, you know, prayer that should be in the center table is now in the toilet. Have you gone to the toilet and you saw the center table there? That is, prayer is now in the toilet. And then the toilet seat is now the center table. That's tohu bohu. I just hope you start using it now. It says, my house was tohu bohu yesterday. I know brethren. I know bread. I was told hobo in Lagos. There was told hobo traffic in Lagos yesterday. Is that not told hobo in itself? The way you are talking. Is that not chaotic? You know, he's in prayer. What's prayer? I told the preacher, I said, now that you're starting the church, what's your plan for evangelism? He said, I don't do all those things. So what do you mean? Say, that's you. You are the one that follows the old method. So what I simply do, I get on social media and I begin to talk about our church. So what about outreach? You know, you are old school. Say, So can I imagine what is going on in their church? That means they are literally doing Project Fame. That's what the church is. Project Fame.
That's what they are.
What's a big brother? Or small brother? That's what they are. Chaos. When you tell yourself, what exactly does God want? He said, let there be light. And he saw the light, Genesis 1:3. It was good. And then what does he do next? He separated the light from the darkness. Where there is no separation, there's chaos. Separation. Darkness from light. Doesn't stop there. He now divided the nations. Divided the earth. Divided the waters. Put things properly. Okay, what should be here? What should be there? What should be here? What should be there? Your life is not chaotic. In the name of Jesus, your life is in order. So you begin to say, what's supposed to be here? So you don't take office work and it begins to overrun, overwhelm your ministry. You don't have ministry. Also come in the way of office work. That's chaos. That's chaos. What is supposed to be where? God set everything in order. In order. And look at what he does. You know that in Genesis, one of the major concepts of order, let's say, classes of order, is that he now called their names. This is light. This is darkness. May I never mix darkness and light. You didn't hear what I'm saying? You are able to recognize this is darkness. This is light. He called this was heavens. He calls this the earth, the seas. He called this the host of heaven. Genesis 1:14-15 to give light, lesser light during the day and the night, the greater light. He's put it in and he called them their names. I told you the other day, Quara. It means purpose. You cannot allow circumstances to arrange themselves for you. See, I'm not a subject of circumstances. So I take charge. I have dominion. In the name of Jesus, pray in tongues. I'm not losing control. I'm not losing control of my emotions. I'm not losing control of my plans. I'm not losing control. Come on. I see my face in Genesis. Order. I'm not losing control of my sexual appetites, or my food appetites. I'm not losing control of any of my appetites. I'm not losing control. I want to make money, but I'm not losing control. I want to rise higher in my career. I'm not losing control. Not of my health, not of my mind, not of my... Come on, pray. I'm not losing control. My attention is not divided. I'm not losing control. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Say, let them have dominion. Glory to God. Dominion. Because the end of order is that you are in charge. Nothing is controlling you but the Spirit of God. Then you are in charge. You are in charge. Hallelujah. And you're in charge. So, look at the first things. Order is when there's a separation. And there's a separation, what else? Watch this. Then you have a naming. This is what this is. This is light. This is darkness. So when you, and you know, when it's separate light from darkness, it was talking about people. You don't get into the world. Okay, now you walk United Nations, the headquarters. So you have all people out there. You are still able to distinguish light from darkness. You are in the midst of, you know, activities you are carrying away. You begin to see nice people. And you say, ah, this guy is nice. He may not be a Christian, he may not be born again, but he's nice. You are having chaos in your thinking. To know, he separated the light from the darkness. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So there's, you set things in order. You set it in order. You set it in the right place. Everything is in the right place. 1 Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave. Paul said many things, for example, in Corinth, about order. Let all things, 1 Corinthians 14:40, be done in order. Talking about the order of utterance gifts. God is not an author of confusion, he says, in the churches. You know, it can be. An author has a Genesis word of confusion. No, he's an author of order. Say, all these things are put in order when I come. The way they were eating, the rich and poor were being discriminated against. He said, no, I'll put this in order when I come. So you need to see that in your life, in your ministry. If you're a pastor, you mustn't be dictatorial, definitely. You can't be, because your job is that of a shepherd. You do it in love. However, you must put things in order. In order. Order. You find a brother, he's not a pastor. He's not a leader. He gathers some people in the fellowship, in the cells. He's trying to teach them. I've seen that thing over the years. He's always self-destruct. In the times like that, the pastor sees what you don't see. I've shared this story before. When many of your pastors just joined the ministry, they were just started the church. And we had this individual who always, after I finished teaching, and it used to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday or so, he would do teaching, and then we'd stay in one living room. If I got to a point, someone said we should start using roll-on. Because the glory of the place was filling the house. They were out there. I don't know who was out of you they were talking about. Let me leave you alone today. So, the person who, after the meetings, will gather them. And because they met this fellow in the ministry, be careful of those you meet in the ministry. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. Because sometimes they will take responsibility that doesn't belong to them. Because they met this fellow in the ministry. And after the sessions, the person will call them to a kitchen, to different places, and be asking them, so what did you learn? Ask who? Tutorial pastor. So what did you learn today? By the way, that's a toasting skill. I hope you know. When a brother is suddenly interested about what you learned in service, I hope you had a great service. I did. And tell me, you're on the road to Emmaus. Danogio is about to happen to you. That's a new word, road to Emmaus. It's a parochial road. And, you know, this was the kind of person John called Diotrephes, looking for preeminence. And we have talked from morning till evening, you know. I would say, any questions? Nobody will ask. Those who ask will answer them. You know, I call them, any further questions? They didn't know what was happening to their life. So I saw them one day. They were thinking, I said, what are you doing here? He pointed to her. So I was just trying to say, take your thing and get out of here. Say, if I see you here again, they must have wondered, don't we have liberty in the spirit? No, Liberty Stadium. Now they can look back and say, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Nonsense. If you have questions, you ask. Just not like that will bring an inverted minister. You go and meet the inverted minister, be asking questions. Asking questions. So come on, this and this and this. Inverted minister. Invited. Me, the minister. You didn't ask. That's chaotic. That's chaotic. So there are people like that, they've been around. You ask them, brother, why have you been around? I joined this ministry when Pastor was in Ikorodu. But you are not a cell leader. I just don't feel. And you are still listening. Your church is called to raise ministers, right? So, is this sales communication? And you know that is what we are doing. And someone says, I just don't. And you are still continuing the conversation. Have you learned about NFA? No future ambition. You see someone say, why are you not writing in class? I don't just feel, I don't just feel this class. Okay, the first class, second class, he's sleeping. Third class, he has gone out. He lives in the toilet, he comes back. The fourth class, he's not there. Say, oh my boy, what's going on now? Say, I'm not just feeling this, and he's a faculty of engineering, I'm not just feeling this engineering thing. And it's the first year. Are you sure you want to graduate? You don't have that kind of person around you! Because that is chaotic living. Everyone is going like this. You go like this. That's chaos. Everyone has been trained for ministry. Everyone is having disciples, raising them. When you are talking, you say, I'm going to see one of my disciples who's calling me. Someone say, the phone goes and say, who's that? One of my disciples is so and so place. The other person's phone goes, what's going on? My guy, one of my guys. One of my guys is, you know, he just texted me. Which guy? We don't date since now. Since. As that one is going, one of my paddy. Paddy, guy. I know. He said, after 2 hours, nobody has called you. You are not talking about prayer meeting, prayer group. You're not talking about study group. I was like, what about your study group? Study group. Study group is that one we do. I've explained to Brotule. And what did he explain? He knows that, my schedule, Let's talk about something else. And you stay there. And you say, I know he might not be spiritual. But I know he can get better. So you are the drug. You are the drug that will make him get better. Do you get it? Chaotic living. You have lost your identity in the church. The church is clear. We raise ministers of the gospel. It's clear. And that is not going on in your life. You have entered chaotically. That's what's going on. So we have chaos. And it's a function of a whole lot of things. One of the things I'll share is that, Israel was a description of that chaos. Israel and the Exodus. I'm going to pick just one of many things, and a major one. If you read any of my Facebook yesterday, I did post it because I wanted to share it last night, but I got myself to share it before. And I said, one of the things that happened in the Exodus, I put it down in my notes here, was murmuring. Murmuring was a major work of the devil in the Exodus. Murmuring. And murmuring is when you complain. You are dissatisfied. Let me say this to all of you. And I'm not just talking about the church. I'm talking about the home. Hear what I'm about to say. You see, you have to protect your home from what's going on in the world. You have to. When there was a lockdown around the world, it was said, and I did this because I sat down with quite a number of Christian leaders across the world, and we had this conversation, and one of the things we noted was that there was just an unusual rebellion. You know why? Because something strange had happened. People couldn't go out. So that dissatisfaction, You know, you can't do it to the government. Of course, eventually the government experienced it. The nations of the world, particularly America, Nigeria, a few other countries, Africa, people went on protest. They just, anything that sparked anger, boom, we're burning things. Because that lack of liberty now got people to just become, you know, touchy. And so they said, in many families, it brought a lot of division and strife. And many church members became very unruly. Now, by the Spirit, I told you then, and I told you what I saw in 2020. I told you what I saw. Now, this observation I'm saying was made this year, I think. Yeah, this year. So you have that tendency. You have to protect your home. You know, you're coming from Lagos traffic, and Lagos traffic doesn't have demons, principalities. And powers, rulers of the, I think Paul should say the traffic of this world. And you get to the, you don't see anything. That is spiritual. You know, I'm joking. So you get home and you know, there's this thing, you're just, and you are coming home with it. Let me say it. You got to start speaking God's word. I'm not stressed in the name of Jesus. I'm full of joy. And I told you this. You get home, you see your wife, your husband, your kids. Just say, guys, man, you know, just say it. That today, that traffic was serious, man. I was almost frustrated. You know, but I thank God. You know what you have done? You've released your faith and you have protected your relationships. What we do, we just keep quiet. Everything, what is it? You know, don't you understand what's going on? 4 hours in traffic! And you say so you are not possessed. You protect yourself. Because you are a spiritual person. So, because the Lord told them in Deuteronomy 8 verse 1 and 2, that he said, I took you through the longer route so I will know what's in your heart. So, there was delay. They were not getting things they had in Egypt. They started to murmur. They were complaining. And it's agitation. Why are we not? Remember, I sat with my daughter and we were talking about protests. That was some 2 years ago. And she was trying to show me. And I said, look, that we're talking about protests generally in the world. And I said, protests are good. They look nice. I have led a few. I've been part of some. There was even one particular, the major last one. The last major one. On the June 12th. And we're on the streets. We're making, how many people soldier go kill? Many people soldier go kill. Then go kill us higher. Then go kill us higher. And I was there. So, the first day, the song went smoothly. By the second day, or see, the second or third day, I just saw Amotak. All who I was with my cousin said, We saw ourselves somewhere else. We got there, say, And that day, you remember, the people that were killed. And shot up. And we left. So I said, look, we've been through this. I remember when we were trying to agitate in my secondary school, and my school father, he said, look, we're going to show the principal. So we asked him to come and inspect our food. When we get in, we'll just put off the light. Chaos. And then people start throwing beans. I never disclosed I was a cheap person here once a few years ago. Someone said, oh no, you can't be a part of them. I said, I was the first person that put on the light. It was my school father. I was under authority. So I told her, I said, look, say, but you have to watch the fruit of something. In Christianity, we look at fruit. I said, it has been found out that major civil rights protests in the world have led to the rise of atheism. You can't ignore that. You can't. atheism, rebellion towards the church. And it has never solved any problem. Most people that got to power around the world through civil agitation, through protest, became worse dictators. Just follow what I'm saying here now. And then so we have to still say to ourselves that the solution to human problems. So what is it? She said the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to come to that point. That we can have temporary reliefs here and there through interventions by the government, by philanthropists, and all that, and some technological innovation here and there. But the solution, because the problem is in the human heart. The problem is not food. It's not shelter. If food and shelter was a problem, those who have food and shelter are very evil. And they steal. Those who have a lot of money steal more. So that is not the problem. It's a human heart. You must know, you see, don't just preach the gospel and have little conviction. You must be convinced that this is the answer. Totally. You must be. You'll be engaged in other things, science, medicine, politics, commerce. You'll be doing that. But you know very well, these are temporary things. Permanent solutions only come from the gospel. Hallelujah. Because you know who you are. Are you here? So the nation of Israel will have murmuring. Murmuring, they will be complaining every day. I can't count. I think at the point I was counting murmuring more, so I just stopped so that I will not murmur. I started to murmur over the murmuring I was reading. So sometimes when people blame Moses, I say, you two souls, you are stressed. Two souls. Two souls. These guys carry hundreds of thousands, some say millions, whichever way. And they normally will agree. Do you know that thing? They'll just agree. How did they get to agree overnight? You want them to pray, they won't agree. If I get, they won't agree. But when it comes to, we have a problem with what's going on in this church, they will just agree. Someone say, Moses had anger problems. I said, you wardrobe problems. Here is only anger he has. You wardrobe. Where are all the angers? Are you here? So you have murmuring, complaining. Paul says, do all things. Philippians 2:14, without murmuring. He warned us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Reading the Exodus story. Verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. They murmured. Exodus 16:2, they were murmuring. Numbers 14:37, murmuring, complaining, legitimately, agitation. Now hear this. Watch this, I'm going to read this. Murmuring is oftentimes a result of a bad report or wrong interpretation of issues. A bad report. You heard something. You heard something. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. That word diligence in the Hebrew means guard your heart with all guarding. In fact, the word diligence in Hebrew means prison. Lock it up. And I said here, the murmuring spirit is quick to jump into conclusions. It is judgmental and critical. In your home, in family, among those you work with. Hallelujah. Ensure that murmuring does not become an attitude. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. You are complaining about money. Complain about your husband, your wife. Complain about your children. Complain about your parents. Complain about your siblings. Always complain about something. Hallelujah. Murmuring is a sin. The world may call it rightful agitation, but God doesn't call it that. Murmuring is a pathway to beguilement. I said here, beguilement is a sin of sharing false conclusions. It's a sin of sharing false conclusions. That's chaos. The sin of sharing false conclusions. What else does he do? He plants seeds of distrust, doubt, and wrong conclusion. Distrust. The moment you start to complain in a union, in a relationship, in the church, you start doubting the other person. Mistrust will come in. So what does he do? From murmuring, we get to slander. Because slander is when you now come to the wrong conclusion. Say, I'm very sure he does this. I'm very sure she does that. I'm very sure that is why he said this. Because, you know, they move from murmuring in Exodus, they now got to slander. We are not able to go. So they were calling God's word a lie. So you move from murmuring to slander. I've told you over the years, Satan plays what? It's a long game. Satan, you know what long game is? You know, how you think that you have gone ahead. You know, have you seen detectives? Maybe the CIA or Nigeria police is all over. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And they'll be watching the person for 1 year, 2 years. How do you think that he's getting away with it? Third year, fourth year, fifth year. They will now show you your life history. When we used to watch James Bond films, you know James Bond? The spy who loves me. See that? The spy who loves me. A spy loved you. Didn't you love her back? Mr. Bond. So he plays a long game. Satan plays the long game. Murmuring plays the long game. You will pick up false conclusions. You will pick up doubt. You start to doubt the call of God upon the person's life. Start to doubt whether this marriage is true or not. Start to doubt your relationship. I've told you, always guard your relationships. There are some things, it's not just about money. Murmuring will not bring up slander. The Hebrew calls it evil report, which now plants doubts in the minds of others about someone else. That's what he does. And listen to me, no matter what it is, division is not of God. In Romans 16:17, Reverend Tokes read that to us the other time. He says, mark them that cause divisions. He didn't say pray for them. Mark them. He says, among you who teach contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, mark them. Then he says, pray for them. Huh? He didn't even say love them. He said, avoid them. You avoid murmuring people. You avoid them. The moment you see someone gets up and start to complain about the prayer meeting, that's okay. 1994, I think. Then we used to go to the Christ Embassy churches in the mornings, on Sundays. Our ministry then, we used to meet in the evenings. And so this brother, I know he won't mind anymore. He's been giving this story for a while. So something happened at the church and the pastor had spoken about some members and what they had done. I didn't have much information and there's something about me. I don't know. I don't try to think too much about what's not my business. You know, some guys, they will start to analyze. What is it to you? I just left it. Okay, fine. And I go home trying to prepare for a meeting in the evening. And this brother walks in. He says, all right, how are you? Yes, I'm fine. That's friend. How are you? I said, fine. He said, what do you think this morning, that happened? I said, what? He said, what the pastor was saying. I said, about what? I changed my face immediately. He said, well, you were there together. And of course, he knew I was there. I said, hey, take the demons you brought to my house and get out. What's my business? You want to start complaining about what is not our business? I said, number one, that brother, the rebuker, I don't know him. The rebuker, he doesn't know me. The issue of the rebuke, I don't know why. And I have my own problems. My own Christian life has its own problems. So, and I think you are one of the problems. So, it goes to slander. Slander, it says, mark them. So that means you must be, discernment is also for those who are around you in the local church. I always tell you. You know why you came. You don't know why the other person came. Some people will join a church because there are plenty of people there. Some are joining the church because after a while they will give them leverage to preach. That's why. One guy told me point blank. He said, you know why I didn't join Saints Community Church? He's a pastor. He's on social media today. And he says, I wanted to join, but I saw, that ladder is too high. Before I get to the top, it will take long. So that's why I didn't join. I said, which ladder? So they set up. It take me years before I rise. You Gary. That you are rising. He told me to my face. So there are people that are there for this purpose. Some come around because of woman. Yes. Some because of man or men. Yes. You are the only one that knows what is in your heart. I've told you this for years. You are the only one. Somebody may be praying, and he's still thinking, okay, that's the guy. His understanding is unfruitful. So you are the one who knows why you are here. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying here? Say, note them. Avoid them. And it can happen in leadership. The moment one person begins to say, sometimes you're not complaining about pastor, maybe another pastor. It's the same thing. It's a long game. There is no measure of murmuring that is correct. There is no measure of complaining that is correct. You watch it. He said, avoid them. Avoid them. Hallelujah. Complaining. A pastor should not complain to. A pastor should not. You are walking in the flesh. If your members are not yielding to the Spirit, you pray. Is that clear? You pray. Do you know, guys, eventually, all the mormon, I showed this over the years, eventually, they were mormon from Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. At some point, Moses himself now murmured. He murmured. So pastors, leaders, everyone raise your hand, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. If you're a leader, pray for yourself. That you should not get infected. This world enjoys complaining. This world enjoys to complain. They enjoy it. They enjoy complaining. See it on social media every day, on television every day. That's why the world likes bad news. This has not happened. That has happened. It's that spirit. Pray for your pastors. Pray for yourself. The murmuring chaos is a chaotic situation. No one can be prayerful and be murmuring. Pray for yourself. Pray for your pastors. Come on. Hallelujah. We're not done. You know, as soon as a church begins to grow, murmuring will happen. Acts 6:1. All of a sudden, they said the food distribution is not, and somebody is going to start it. Did you get fed yesterday? I did. Are you sure? I was now. What did you eat? See where he started from. They didn't give you meat. And it's fish. The fish, was it fried? That's how it's going to start. It wasn't fried, but you didn't notice. The guys from Ibadan, they gave them goat meat. Hey. So we from Ijebuja, what did they give us? He said, what about those people from Okigwe? He said, those ones, they just put gari and palm oil.
Ah!
What about those guys from Abeokuta? They told them to take pure water. One person knows everything. There are some brethren like that. You know what I'm talking about? So you know. They will analyze for you. I even spoke with one guy in a Shule church. He told me the same thing. I have a friend too in Alagbado. In fact, when we were talking, he chatted me up. Bro, what's going on here? He said, in fact, one of my cousins, you know, when we joined church, we came together that day. He's in the Abuja church. He said he was so surprised. One single person, see network. They are brethren like that. Because what can we do? They are here. Not in this church, in Jesus' name. So you have to guard your heart. Eventually, Moses now began to murmur. To get to your heart. To get to your heart. Because the opposite of murmuring is to give thanks. Say, I always give thanks. Can you do that right now? Just give thanks. For your life. For your husband. For your wife. For your children. For your pastor. What about for your nation? For your boss at work? Give thanks, give thanks. In all things, give thanks to God. This is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for those in rulers, for those in authority. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Giving of thanks. Come on. Give thanks for your life. Give thanks for your job. Give thanks for your ministry, your fellowship, yourself. Give thanks for your life. For your health, the power of God is working in my life. Working in my body. Effecting a healing and a cure. Hallelujah. Murmuring. Discontent. That feeling of discontent. He now brings negative reactions. Don't forget, he gets to slander. Slander will lead to division. And from that point, you begin to have a disloyalty. A disloyal spirit. What happens next? You start feeling mistreated. And I wrote something here. Usually, you'll start having a desire for personal recognition from the church, the ministry, the organization. And you start having a sense of entitlement, such that if the entitlement does not come, you feel devastated, you are hurt, and you now walk against the team. Now let me tell you how you can walk against the team. Sometimes it's by doing nothing. By doing nothing. Let me say something to you. I'm saying this to all of you. And whether you are in a business relationship, you are married, premarital, a marital relationship, or in the church, the silent treatment of keeping quiet sometimes and many times is evil. You watch it. Now, you can be quiet because you want to say the right thing and not, you know, James 1:19 says, be sweet to hear, slow to speak. Maybe that's what you're doing. But when you are silent because you are hurt, you are looking for trouble. You deal with it. You pray about it. So sometimes the person is devastated and hurt, and he walks against the team, the church, the family, the relationship, either by doing nothing or by doing something. And the disloyal spirit will always happen when murmuring sets in. Let's get back to a few things. Lack of order. What's God going to do? God, listen now, God wants to bring order And this is what he does for us. For our nations, for the world, he chooses men. He chose Moses to do the job. They knew in Exodus 2:2 that he was a proper child. And God took Moses. Even in the four gospels, right? Jesus took the 12. Amongst the 12, he had the 3, Peter, James, and John. Amongst them, he had Peter. In John 21, he hands over all of them to Peter. Feed my lambs, feed my flock. In life, always ask who is in charge. It will always put your life in order. Who is in charge here? In a relationship, in a friendship, you ask who is in charge. In an association, who is in charge? There was a time like that, some brethren in church, they said, well, Pastor, we want to have this group. I think it was a WhatsApp or BlackBerry group. They said, we want to be sharing the word of God. I said, okay, so who will be the pastor? The person said, I'd never thought about it. I said, this is chaos. Anything without a head is a monster. Who will be in charge? Someone has to take charge. Watch this now. God had Saul. Saul, he moved to David. There was no time Saul and David were kings at the same time. That is disorder. You can't have two pastors. Did you hear what I just said? Now you can have pastor delegate to a pastor, then to a pastor, but you can't have two. It's David or Saul, not David and Saul. So he had Jesus, he had the 3, Peter, James, and John. Then he had Peter. Peter was the pastor of all the pastors. There's someone in charge. Paul wrote to Ephesus, wrote to Corinth, Thessalonica, he wrote to Rome, he wrote to Galatia, he wrote to Colossae. Why? Because he was in charge. In Revelation 2 and 3, when Jesus was going to talk to the churches, he didn't talk to them directly, he talked to the angels of the churches, the messenger of the churches. That's how it works. Someone came up one time and said, I have this vision. I said, hold on. You don't go to the congregation to share a vision. This is a church. You share it with the pastor. The pastor can decide whether he wants to share it or not. That is biblical order. Now, it could be about people's lives, and you want to share it with them. Even at that, sometimes you just say, Pastor, I think I'm led to share this with this brother. And then the pastor says, okay, go ahead. You don't go ahead and then go in the congregation and you say, you act like a pastor. No. And that happens a lot to us charismatic because we are led by the Spirit and we think the Spirit and disorder are in the same bottle. No, they are not. Things should be done without confusion. You have people that do that. I remember years back, we'll be having Holy Ghost meetings, so we just call anybody to give a word. And it was in Trench, Teta Hall, is it JCR or this SCR? And then, which one is up? Is it SCR? Teta Hall, SCR up, okay. The one that, if you fall from the, you fall down. Is that the one? If you fall from what they call the balcony, is that the one that's SCR? I remember one brother was rejoicing and we had to, I never forget it, you know. I said, brother, don't rejoice to the glory. We are stuff. So we're giving, you have a prophecy, people get up and they give tongues. And you know, everybody was following the same pattern. We'll give a tongue, someone get healed, we'll give an interpretation, someone get blessed and all that. Then this sister just got up and, you know, wrote something. And then she spoke. She said, everybody here, you're giving tongues and interpretation. Are you aware that people that do this are also in hellfire? And you know, oh my God. I looked at Larry's face, my friend. And he looked down and I said, oh, this Holy Ghost meeting is going elsewhere. And from that point, we said, any prophecy, write it down. Even God inspired men to write down the prophecy. Write it down. But sir, someone came over there and said, I have this thing. I said, tell me. He said, sir, I'll tell the church. I said, I'm the pastor. He said, yes, but the Lord said, I said to the church, go and tell the Lord, we don't want to hear you. Don't bring all that gangsterism here. Come, sir, what do you want to say? There was one sister, like lady like that. She was giving me orders. I want to preach at the convention, 1994. She was, and you know, I had an experience before. She was jumping, So, wasn't too nice what I did. So she was, you know, and then when they are turned like that, people hold them. So she was turning towards me and I saw a chair, I just... Yeah, 1994. I was a guest preacher there anyway. You go tell the person in charge. That's what happens. They'll say, I just had this, you know, even those who are your pastors, they have something about, they say, Pastor, I just sense this one about, it deals with the church. You tell the pastor who is in charge. Moses, see, Jethro wants to tell Moses, Moses, you need people to walk with you, Exodus 18. He said, look for men. Provide men who will stand with you. Now you could have said, that was Jethro talking to Moses. Jethro feels that, you know, Moses will provide the men. Why should Moses provide the men? Why can't God just lead men? In Numbers 11, Moses goes to God. He says, I'm tired of these people. The burden is too much. I can't carry it alone. And God said, all right, Numbers 11, 16. He said, look for 70 men, elders who you know to be the elders of the people, that they will stand with you to do this work. God said, Moses, you choose. Why? Because God has put Moses in charge. You choose. You be the one to choose. Why didn't God just appear to David? Hey, David! Hello, Lord! No, I'm done with Saul. You are the next pastor. Mm-mm. He follows the same protocol. He takes Samuel, you go choose David. That's what he does. He's going to speak to Samuel. He speaks to Samuel in the house of Eli. That's how it is. God is not the author of confusion. Let me see if I follow what we're saying here. Come on. You getting this? He's not the author of confusion. No one can just show up on Facebook and become a pastor. Hello, who are you? Hello, guy, who are you? Well, I'm just this guy, I'm just led by the Spirit of God to have a church. Who are you? Where are you from? Oh, well, I just came in contact with the Word, and I'm thinking I have a burden for the nations. Take your burden out of this place. Who are you? So God has people. Remember I told you the kings are pastors, right? Right? Oh, good. So he chooses them that way. You can't have Saul and David. It's Saul or David. So anywhere you are, you ask who's in charge. In Numbers, in Acts 1, everybody's wondering what's going to happen to Peter. I mean, to Judas's position. Peter got up and spoke. In Acts 2, Peter got up and spoke. In Acts 3, Peter got up and spoke. In Acts 4, Peter got up and spoke. In Acts 5, Peter got up and spoke. Peter got up and spoke. In Acts 8, Peter and James and John go to Samaria together. In Acts 9, Peter is the one who sent Paul away back to Tarsus. In Acts 10, Peter is the one who spoke now to Cornelius. In Acts 11, in Acts 12, Peter is the one that was arrested. He handed over to James. Then he left. In Acts 15, there's still a crisis. Peter is the one that got up and spoke. God chooses men. Are you following what I'm saying? Recognize them. Recognize them. And I tell you this, I may not be able to say all of this in this meeting, but in every place and nation and different instances, God chooses men. If you are spiritual enough and you are sensitive enough, you will know who is who. God does. He does. Know who is in charge. If you know about the righteousness of God in Christ, I have eternal life, I'm born of God, I'm the seed of God, I'm a joint heir in Christ, and you don't recognize who is in charge, your knowledge is half-baked. You are not yet wise. Who is in charge? Who is in charge here? So you have to know that. I told you earlier on, you don't listen to the mob. You don't do that. Aaron made the error. No matter how loud the voice is, that is not in charge. Sometimes democracy looks like the right thing. We all vote in. We all vote in who's going to be the best, and everybody votes. And we think majority should carry the vote. That's absolutely, it doesn't even be proven correct. We can have majority who are foolish, stupid, rebellious, sinful, devilish, and they will speak with a loud voice. With a loud voice. It doesn't make them right. Go look through scriptures. Many times majority were against God. So you don't respond to the mob. You don't do that. One of the things that I handled when I was a younger preacher is very simple. Someone will come and say, everybody is saying that you are this. I say, how many have you met? Everybody. He counts 2-3 people. Who are the everybody? Then I tell them, I don't really care if it's everybody. And God delivered me as a younger preacher from the fear of rejection. I was set free. I know he was preparing me. I was set free. So it doesn't move me one bit. The fact that people, he doesn't, not a single hair of me is moved. No way. And I've seen God turn things around over the years. He doesn't make anything. Doesn't change anything. What I do. Why, when things like that happen, I pray more. I know I'm being prepared for something. I pray more. One time people said, God, in one meeting like that, that was late 95, four, sorry. And he said, no, five. And he said, this and that. And he said, we are all saying this. I said, good for all of you. We're about 30 in the room. I said, good for all of you. He said, are you now saying we are wrong? I said, yes, that's what I'm saying. You are all wrong. We have said that you are arrogant. You are very proud. I said, it's your opinion. You are still wrong. Do you get it? He saved me from the fear of feeling rejected. No, some people say, I feel rejected. Depression. That's the latest word now. I'm feeling depression. I want to take this. I want to end it all. Someone said, I want to end it all. I said, why are you telling me? It's all of those things they pick from social media. I want to end it all. Depression. Say, I'm feeling depression. Say, how is it feeling? Tell me. I'm just feeling depression. What is it? Tell me. It's depression, sir. What is it? I'm just feeling depressed. What is it? Say, it's just that feeling of, you know, I said, if you are an Arsenal fan, you'll have overcome this easy. I'm talking about counseling. I said, this is a member of the church. I said, I've been teaching you the Bible. You are feeling depression. I said, with all those songs that these people sing all the time, with the Holy Ghost. I said, I got joy, joy. They give you song. Pastor Wale is always giving you glory songs. Glory, glory. You are hearing all those ones. And you still have depression. They say, sir. I said, you can't make it. What else do you want? Even David, when they went to kill him, who else should be depressed? He said, my soul will praise you, God. I said, why are you saying that? I said, I'm just wondering. You are feeling depressed and you are seated. You are well dressed. Did you eat this morning? He said, yes. There is nothing wrong with you and I'm not going to pray for you. Stop joining bad gang. You are not depressed. You want to feel among. Thank you, sir. The person is listening to me now. Somebody called me and said, I'm about to kill myself. I said, do it. Sir, did you hear me? I said, I heard you. Do it. You have not done it. That's why you are still calling. You are still... Nonsense. I'm born of God. I don't walk in darkness. So you don't throw your life to the control of this world. One of the things you are going to master. You are going to master your emotions. They are not going to be loose. You won't get angry and say, and I should not have. No, you can't be doing that. You are a believer. I should not have. Your sexual desires go off. I should not have. Your words go against you. I should not have. You take your eyes away. You should not take your eyes. I should not have. When will you not stop? When you stop saying I should not have? Don't let yourself be loose. Say by the Spirit of God, I'm in control of my life. Hallelujah. So know who is in charge. Don't listen to the mob. God did not send you to this world to be changed by this world. He sent you to this world to win souls, to preach the gospel. What did Samuel say to Saul? Samuel gave Saul an instruction to go and take out the whole Amalekites. And he came back. He said, you know, the people said, that's what he told him. He said, the people. Then Samuel answered him, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the blood of bulls and goats. For the sin of rebellion is that of witchcraft. That is what he told him. Idolatry. What was Samuel Saul doing? He listened to the crowd. Never be under peer pressure. I told you the story of one guy. They were speaking against a man of God publicly. And he joined it. I used to make this boast. And I trust God that this boast will be forever. That nobody in Saints Community Church can be unruly on social media. Can I still say it? Say nobody. I told the pastor. I said, if you find anybody in Saints Community Church, they were arguing on salvation or something like that. And they were abusing preachers. I said, if you find one person from this church, then I'll step down as the pastor. Say, are you sure? I said, yes. I said, what will come upon you? I said, not just that they won't comment, they won't like. You know, sometimes they won't say anything so that you won't see them, they'll be liking. They don't. They are well trained. Do you know how your parents are so sure? They say, no, I know my son. That's how your pastor says, I know them. They can't. No. We train them. They don't misbehave. I said, nobody can do it. This fellow now took on a preacher. The bad part is not just the preacher. That's bad enough. It's the fact that this is a preacher he knew. I said, you are a devil. You join people to criticize someone that you know. With a friend like you, no one is an enemy. I said, sir, it's not like that. It's like that. What kind of a human being is that? What pressure? So which means, if people are abusing your father publicly, you say, don't mind him. They will ask your father, are you sure you checked your DNA? He's a bastard. You don't do that. You cannot feed the world your disagreement with your friends. That's an idiot. You don't feed the world your disagreement with your friends. You don't. That's why all my friends know it. That when I'm your friend, you can go and sleep. You can go and rest. You don't stress yourself. Also, if I'm your pastor, I always have your back. You go and rest. No issues. We must learn that. Saul listened to the crowd. And that was the end. Look at every individual that listens. Don't be under pressure. Look at Numbers 12. Miriam. I told you, that moment will just get to someone else. He got to Miriam. Miriam and Aaron, who were following Moses faithfully. Miriam was the one who could preserve the life of Moses. At the point, she just said, yeah, you the only one that God even speaks to. How would you go and marry an Ethiopian? Like someone rightly said, we don't know whether it was true. I'm saying the same thing too. She went on and on. Obviously, Miriam started it. And again, Aaron, he followed. And that was the end. You don't say peer pressure. With all you know, peer pressure. With all you know, e-pressure. With all you know. With all that you know. No. When they were having one protest in Nigeria, Lagos, you found Christians speak rudely, call the elderly generation names. What a shame. Unfortunately, some Christians on the same ground where they were throwing expletives, they claim to be praying in the spirit. How can you be praying in the spirit in a protest ground? What's wrong with you? What's going on? E-pressure. The feeling of being left out. Now you want to belong. Nonsense. Absolute rubbish. You find Christians also say, so that's okay, we're born again, spirit filled. And you know, whenever you are doing those things, you just feel light. The demons are around you, you just feel light. Like, yeah. The host of heaven have come upon you. You find people talk like that. Someone said, I know I'm a Christian, but if my pastor does not do this, I'll walk out of the church. Hey! Familiar spirit? Family spirit? What's this? What's going on? Yeah, this is the time to know real men of God. If you are not this one, you are not a man of God. Scriptural verse. I don't care. That's not the Bible. I don't care. Yeah? You are going crazy. So I'm trained by the Holy Ghost. Say, I'm trained by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Like someone said, just like when we're growing up, when you go out, you show your own training. Now we know Christians by their church training. When you are at your office, someone from another church, he can think he's right and do it. You know they will not be judged because they don't have the knowledge you have. You cannot be judged beyond the light you have. So let me say this, sir. I say it oftentimes. Do you see how we normally teach you, right? And we are doing it more. We teach intensely so that you have a lot of things to be judged for. That's where I'm going to. We explain. So there's no ignorance. We explain. And you know, we don't have any special subject. Any subject. Okay. So you will stand judged. Who explain. You say, whoa, glory. Is that glory? Is that glory? Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, yeah. Hey, Sunday. Hey. Okay, very good. So you cannot afford to claim ignorance. Where are the other people in their services? The pastor will just remember someone as he's preaching. Hallelujah. What I was going to say was that you see, God is a good God. He's a good God. You know, the other day, Elon Musk was telling Bezos. And you know, as they were saying that, I just remember Jesus. That's the sermon. Now, that one you now meet in the office. He's now saying, I don't care. You are not listening to the same thing. Your conduct has to be different. So we are setting you up. You know how many sessions we have done here? 4 group meetings. Different. I even brought talks. Same Bible training center director. You are in trouble. He just came. He came in to speak and he went. How to be? I didn't choose the subject. He told me, he said, what should I preach? I said, how I tell you what to preach? I can't do that. I said, I've never told you what to preach before. He said, tell me. I said, no. Whatever you are led. So he told me. So you see, what did he teach you again? How to be a... You cannot claim ignorance. All the group meeting, you can't claim ignorance. They're set up. So you can't get to your office. You can't get to your family. And then you behave differently. You have to show what you know. And learn to stand out. Even if you are the only one. Because you know who you are. See, I know who I am. So those who have identity crisis in your office, who are identity crisis in your place of work, they will start to know who they are when they see you. Are you following what I'm saying? You must steady the sheep. Get back to order. Let me wrap up. I want to share something else, but that will be first thing in the morning tomorrow. I'll just go through this. This order starts when I start missing out the basic things. Basic things. In my devotion. Did you hear about devotion during the group meetings? Look at me, guys. Let me say something. And this is me talking to you. Look at me. Stop writing. You know, I always teach you the truth, right? Even when it's contrary to me, I'll teach you. Never joke with daily devotion. I'm saying it to you. I wish you can. I know you know my heart. I'm opening my heart to you. I know you can say yesterday and I was very busy. See, do all you can on a daily basis. Feed on the word and pray. Did you hear what I'm saying? I am begging you. I am begging you. All, whatever it will take on a daily basis, feed on the word. Feed on the word. Pray in the spirit on a daily basis, even at bad moments. Because you can't always have good moments. Pray in the spirit. Feed on the word. No matter what it is. And also, as much as lies in your power, like Botox said, there's some issues that are out of your power, don't miss gatherings. Don't ever. That's why I normally share some experience over and over again. Don't miss gatherings. There are some things, if you miss a meeting, you won't hear it again. You will not hear it again. Don't miss it. So let me get back to what I was saying. Don't joke with your devotion. What did I say? I am begging you. And those of you who are married, watch your spouse. She doesn't wake up to pray. He doesn't wake up to pray. He doesn't study. Hey, see, if your neighbor is eating insects and you have not told the person you are eating insects, one day both of you have to do vigil. You won't sleep. Don't joke with it. Don't. Some of you are here when you are on the campus. You will leave your room. You will go to maybe the chapel side and go and pray. Now you stay on the bed. Or you sit down and you do that. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Fix it quickly. Fix it quickly. Get up from the bed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Get up from the bed and begin to pray. Watch those basic things. Know that in the morning, I get up and pray. In the evening, I pray. During the day, I meditate on the word of God. I pray in the spirit. Make sure that those things don't happen by chance. You ensure they happen by order. By what? By order. Make sure they happen. And they happen by order. Make sure they do. You pray in the spirit. Make sure you know the voice. What did, I was saying earlier. Paul, in Acts 6. Make sure you know the voice, over your life. God has a voice over your life. He has people, persons that He has supernaturally related you to. Just like you're in this church. How many of you know you are here supernaturally? Let me see your hand. Come on. Alright, now pray for your relationship with the church. Pray. You are here supernaturally. You are here by the Holy Ghost. Some things might not be clear to you now, but they will become clear. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. You are here by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. I didn't want to say this before. Now, this is my note. And on Thursday, which is what I do when we have meetings like just like Watch and Just Conference, I usually prepare the notes a few days before. So I'm following the leading of the Spirit. Now, I had things I was preparing to teach. Okay? I wrote number 3. You look at it. Taking your place here in your local church. That's what Brother Tuk speaks. I wrote it down. So when he shared with me, I didn't say anything. How to be a blessing. Taking your place in the local church. So when he went, he said, how was it? I said, that was what I wanted to preach. Said, oh, yeah. Because we were praying. Hallelujah. We were praying. And God answered our prayer. You prayed for me, right? So I had to know what God's spirit was wanted to say. He knew it. And I usually invite people for this conference a year ahead. So you're preaching for us next year. A year ahead. I told him this last year. I told him, I said, even the only person that can invite you at that time and I will accept is Pastor Higgin. He said he's not going to invite me. He knows. I said, anybody. He said, I know. He was saying, anything. I said, you can't, anywhere you are. I said, you are coming to preach for us. So I gave him a year ahead because I know he's very busy. So you know that supernaturally you are here. That means that your attitude here should be in the spirit. That should be your attitude. It's in the spirit. So, like I said, you know those who have been, you know, put over your life. I was saying earlier on, Moses was the one who chose. In Numbers 27, Moses now, God has said, you're not leading them again into the land of promise. And then Numbers 27, Moses says, okay, Lord, you know I'm not leading them, but your people cannot be without a shepherd. You know what God said? Well, that's what I tell you. Moses and the Lord, there's just something. I thought the Lord said, you know, it's like when two friends are having something. I don't like what you did. And I say, what did he do? He look at you. Excuse me. You have to just keep quiet. And then he said to Moses, went to the Lord, said, Lord, you said I was not going to lead these people. So who's going to lead them now? They cannot be like that. Don't you know they cannot be without a pastor? The Lord said, yeah, I know. You know, Joshua, your boy. My boy, okay. You go and lay hands on Joshua. You are now the one that will set Joshua before the congregation. God doesn't change the order. He didn't change it. He did not change it. In Acts 6:1, even though the people were murmuring, they came to the apostles. So say order. They came to who? The apostles. That is order. Sir, so, okay, well, it's not reason that we should go over and serve tables. Look among yourselves. And they gave them the prescription. They gave them. That means the apostles still chose. First Timothy 3. He that desired the office of a bishop desires a good work. Then Paul spells out what Timothy must do. There's someone in charge. No. Who is in charge? In your life, know who is in charge. God's word is in charge. The Holy Ghost is in charge. You must recognize that every day. Every day. You must recognize that. On a daily basis. Recognize that. Ensure that you pray daily. You feed on the word daily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch for murmuring, disloyalty, dishonor. Dishonor starts from the heart. The moment you start to feel uncomfortable, dishonor is going to come in. The moment you start feeling that way, or Brother Alex says something and you so feel somehow, start to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. I take that instruction. It's by your spirit, and I pray for my pastor. He's walking in wisdom as he leads me aright. You are responding to the flesh by the spirit. But the moment you leave his presence and you're going like, well, I thought you should have, I explained myself. And you are treading the wrong path. But Pastor, what if he's wrong? I didn't say he's right or wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm saying your response to him should be in the spirit. And you are praying, Lord, I know my pastor is led by your spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes, even if he got it wrong, that's your response in the spirit will set things right. Look at Anna. Anna responded by the spirit. She said, my Lord, I wasn't drunken. Your servant was not drunken. I only had a petition that's made me bitter, crying to the Lord. Immediately, Eli got it right. So if you stay in the spirit, no matter whether the person is right or wrong, you will get the right thing. Lift your hands and pray for yourself. That I receive instructions in the spirit. I want you to pray this one well. That instructions, I receive it in the spirit. Not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. I receive instructions in the spirit. And not in the flesh. Not in the flesh. I'm beginning to close here. Pray. Not in the flesh. In the spirit. Hallelujah. Sit down, we'll begin to close here now. You stay in the spirit. Because the scripture says it's the deep that calls to the deep. You receive a man of the spirit by the spirit. And what do we mean by the spirit? The fruit of the spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. There's no time. Walking in the flesh is right. By the fruit of the spirit, you begin to pray in tongues. You begin to pray in tongues.
It looks like your pastor just sent you a text. Like he called you. Begin to pray in tongues. It could be a friend speaking to you. Begin to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Because you know that this is a work of the Holy Ghost. You are not going to treat this in the flesh. Sometimes it's your spouse, your wife or your husband speaking to you. You should be able to detect God using him or using her. It's not every time you're going to hear "Thus saith the Lord." Because when the Holy Ghost is on someone, it's more likely God is speaking through them. More likely. And I want you to get out of this convention tomorrow and have a different way you see yourself. And you see those around you. See your friends, particularly those in this church, who are born again. They are not just guys who are saved, you hang around with. They are men of the Spirit. They are people of the Spirit. That the Lord can prompt at any point, any time to say something. It's in a joke, it's in a conversation. But when you know who they are, you recognize them. You receive from them easily. Reverend Tok said earlier today, you must ward a war against the spirit of familiarity. Someone told me one time, he said, you know, every time I get close to a man of God, I can't receive again, so I decide not to get close. I say, you have to deal with carnality. You are being carnal. That means you are going to run away from everybody. And to be in the spirit. Talk to yourself, say, Shadow, that's the flesh. You know that this man, this woman, has the Holy Ghost upon her. And she's speaking to me. I will receive it by the Spirit. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Say, Lord, I pray that whatever has been said, my eyes are open to receive it correctly. Then you are positioning yourself to get it right. Who are you? You are born of the Spirit of God. And you are in light, not in darkness. You don't function in chaos. You function in light. Everything is in order in your life. Everything is in proper order. You have the right priorities in your life. There is no chaos. Stand to your feet, lift your hands. There's no chaos in your life and ministry. It's light. No shadows and no darknesses. Pray in tongues.